Hello, everyone, and welcome in to episode number 252 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Carson.
Yay, Carson's here.
Yay.
Carson's here. We sobered up for you. You're welcome.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, all right. So Carson, you host. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you as a host, what you love about it, what you really annoys you when the players are like, eh, so that way they know after they listen to this week's episode, they can do it the next time they see you at their venues.
or not do it, as the case may be. Well, I host at the Beer Baron on Mondays, and then Wednesdays I'm at Doc FC, which is a really cool new venue. So check us out over in Ivy City. I love hosting. It's a lot of fun. I do get... When people don't put team names, that's a real problem, especially at larger venues when we have multiple teams and not putting team names, and they don't put team names on your bonus rounds. I'm like, I can't give you points for that team name, and I want to give you points, but I need a team name. That's really frustrating.
That's the easiest question of the night.
I was gonna say it's also the most important.
Yeah.
And worth the most points.
Yeah.
That, or if I can't on round one, if I can't read your team name, and then I have to go find you, like, what is your team name? Like, I don't know what that is, and that gets, if you have messy handwriting, like, I just need to know what. Because people write some interesting team names sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's what you meant. Good, because what I thought you meant is way off.
Is different. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot. We're doing a host happy hour so we can get all the hosts together and we kind of swap war stories. And I've been thinking about doing like a trivia Olympics and, you know, like who can be the fastest scorer, who can pronounce all of these different words correctly. And now you gave me a new one where I want to have handwriting samples of people that write their team name, and you have to guess the occupation of the person based on their handwriting. Because I know if a teacher is writing. I know if a teacher is writing the answer
sheets. Yes, that is very true.
Cool. So you know the format. You know that we go through and we do facts. Michael, you're to my left.
Yes, I am.
That means nothing beside I'm looking at you right now, and I would like you to go first and kick us off.
All right, I can do that. So
that's also something you always start your facts with, and I like that about you. You're
right,
consistent.
Then. I do what I can. So, everybody knows during the French Revolution, French used the guillotine a fair amount.
This is true.
Everybody knows that.
Yes. Very
this
true.
Is common.
Very common knowledge. The last time that the French used the guillotine, I'm getting bad looks. Already.
No, it's okay. I want you to. I want you to finish your question.
Shares its date with which movie premiere?
I would like Carson to field this one.
I feel like I'm about to get slapped around for coming up with a bad fact.
No, it's a really
great fact.
You guys just know it.
We just know it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Carson.
Oh, I don't know, but I mean, it has to be if we're talking about movies, it has to be like 1900s because early 1900s, I would assume.
There weren't a lot of movies pre 1900s. Yeah. So you got 20th century,
right,
and I can tell you that that's correct.
Somewhere within that 100 years.
I'm going to go with the classic, and I will say Gone with the Wind.
Okay, so 1930s.
29 was Gone
20,
with the Wind,
29,
wasn't it?
All right. I don't know.
I could be wrong. Somewhere in there. 29, 30, 31.
All right. Which one of you wants to give the right answer?
1977.
Yes.
Yeah. Star Wars.
Star Wars: A New Hope. shares the day with this September 11th.
The last 1977, guillotine.
The last guillotine execution.
Oh, we were talking about Star Wars earlier too.
We were too.
Darn it.
I kept my mouth shut during that for specific. I was like, oh, this is gonna be my fact. And as soon as Nick and Lindsay started looking at each other, I went, oh no.
Lindsay looked at me, and that was her shut up. Don't give the don't give the answer immediately because you're gonna ruin the whole podcast. And let Carson give his answer first.
Yeah.
Look
after. Yeah, after
she does have that specific look, by the way.
She does.
Yeah. After multiple years of podcasting, you get what I'm saying. This brings up my bonus kind of debate. Joey and I were talking about who was more famous or who was more likely to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I was really confident in my answer, and he was very confident in his, so I put it up to Twitter, and I got smacked down. So, Carrie Fisher or The Rock, who's more famous?
Who's more famous?
Who is like, currently more famous or who is the bigger star?
We posed it as who is more famous.
I'd say The Rock.
I would say The Rock. Even though I want to say Carrie Fisher, I think The Rock is slightly more famous. You see him on the commercials too. Like,
He's everywhere.
It all depends on how you're framing this. Forgetting for a second what actually has to happen to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Which we've talked about, and it's a lot.
It's a lot. But none of it has to do with like prestige.
Right.
Or
right.
box office numbers.
Or box office numbers. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, qualification. Basically, so Carson, if you don't know, the way you get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame is to be nominated and then to have somebody pay $30,000 for it.
Yeah.
Like, that, that's it. Process. That's the list. Now, the
see our Kickstarter for Nick Groves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the whatever it is, the association that runs the Hollywood Walk of Fame has to determine that, yes, you are famous enough to be there. But literally, the only rule is that you're nominated, you're famous enough by their standards to be there, and somebody pays for it, and you show up.
You don't necessarily need to show up.
So this, yeah, you don't. You can get one when you're dead. Because Carrie Fisher hadn't had a star for a really long time and just recently got one, and The Rock.
So did Selena. We just talked about that. Selena just got it, and obviously she's dead, so she can't be there to accept her.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, fictional characters don't really show up.
Yeah. Carrie Fisher got her star, though? I hadn't heard that.
Maybe. I thought she did.
I remember
when she died, she didn't have one.
Right. Well, this was my point, was that if you're debating who is more famous, then I think you've got to go, especially like who is more famous right now, I think you've got to go with The Rock is the more famous person. If the question is who deserves a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame
That's Carrie Fisher.
I think that's Carrie Fisher.
Oh, she, okay, so I was definitely, so she doesn't have one.
Right. I remember
she says
didn't have
she
one.
Won't womp, get... Womp. She won't get a Hollywood star for at least 5 years. That's from an article in 2016.
That might be a posthumous thing from the...
Yeah. So my bad for saying that. I thought that I read somewhere that she got one, or maybe that was like a fan thing that they wanted to happen. But anyway, Dwayne Johnson just got a star, and that led us to who would be more... Who would you think more likely to have one? Which obviously I would assume Carrie Fisher. Then it was who is famous, and I thought that since she transcended generations... That was my answer, but clearly I'm outvoted again, and this happens when I crowdsource things.
Well, see, I just heard back-to-back Lindsay making what you were just saying, Nick. Which one's more deserving, and then who is more famous?
Right. It all depends
those are
on,
two very two, different
yeah,
questions.
It's two totally different questions, two totally different skill sets. Donald Trump has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Silence.
On to the next note.
Yeah, Carson, I would like you to go next.
Oh, okay.
Only because, again, I'm looking at your face.
Well, okay, that works. And I'm going to say in advance that I have all music facts today, so... Hope you enjoy music facts.
Not that we were recording our episodes back to back to back.
Absolutely.
You know?
Not.
Secrets.
We don't do that, ever. Okay, so... Which album, and this album took 64 weeks, so it took 64 weeks to reach number one, which is the longest climb from when it entered the Billboard charts to reach number one.
64 weeks.
Yeah, so when it entered on a date, and 64 weeks later, it finally reached number one.
So it's like over a year. Up for 64 weeks.
And it's the longest climb ever for it to do that.
And this is an album, not a specific song.
Yeah, it's an album.
Oh, it's an album. That's going to make it much harder.
For over a year.
Yeah, it took over a year.
Over a year.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start logicking my way through this. Well, is logicking a word?
No.
Oh,
so
okay.
I can give you the date it entered, because that might help.
That would super helpful.
So the date it entered was June 13th, 1988.
So June 13th, 88.
So meaning that it reached number one October 7th, 1989.
88 and so 88 and 89, those are 2 years that the two of you are very familiar with, correct?
Yeah.
I was born in 89, so October
I
would have been 2 months.
Okay.
I existed.
Right.
So big 80s hits. Why would it, let's start with this question as we logic our way through this. Why would an album take long to reach number one? What would be the reason for that? Like,
so
I'm thinking musicals, right?
Okay.
Like, not a musical would come, but maybe it happens like Hamilton took a long time to became one of the most streamed on Spotify.
It's a
things.
Slow burn kind of thing. It's especially in like the late 80s, it would be it's a viral album.
Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors.
Took a lot longer to be viral because you can't just cut and paste or forward or share. You actually have to show it to people who do that type of stuff. What albums were in the late 80s?
See, I'm taking a slightly different approach than Lindsay in my thinking through. I'm thinking that it's an album that got released, and then like the big movie for summer of 89.
Okay.
That album, the one of the songs from the album was being used. That's how it gets to number one.
Okay.
That's a great logic.
So I'm trying
logicking.
To think.
So,
yeah,
good
exactly.
Logicking.
So I'm trying to think of one of those big summer hits of 89.
I need more hints.
Like, I mean, I'm trying to think of movies in the 80s. I don't necessarily know 89, but like Flashdance or one of those, like.
Well, I can also say, too, this was a big album that it spawned 4 number one hits. So it did.
Whoa.
Once it finally hit, it hit big.
Okay. Well, again, why would it be?
I'm going to take a shot in the dark, and this is the only reason I have this is because you and me had a talk about this a couple weeks ago, leaving a podcast.
Okay.
Is it an Aerosmith album by any chance?
No, it is not.
Okay.
And Aerosmith only had one number one hit.
Yeah, they did. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is one of those interesting trivia things that you're like, oh, but no, they have to have more than one hit.
I think that's
not,
what we were discussing is kind of we were going through Aerosmith albums and going like, oh, that song. Oh, that song. Yeah. Oh, that song. Oh, they were all on the same album.
Yeah. Was it Michael Jackson and Halloween was not in the time and then Thriller got really big?
Nope. Michael Jackson's Thriller is earlier in the 80s. So
yeah, Thriller was like 84.
Oh, okay.
83, 84, so it's earlier.
Mabi.
All right, so the real question is, who were the huge stars of the late 80s, early 90s? Oh, was it like New Kids on the Block?
No New Kids on the Block.
No New Kids on the Block, because that's, I mean, they may have been like 89, 90, 91. Weren't they somewhere in that general vicinity?
Yeah, could have been.
Like the boy band starting of...
They were in that time with You Got the Right Stuff, but...
Right. That's... Boys to Men... Is another? I'd I'm just stunned.
How about you give us a genre?
Okay, so it is a pop album, and it's a, I will say too, it's a female pop artist.
Madonna.
Paula Abdul.
That is correct. Paula Abdul's "Forever Your Girl."
Why?
So what happened?
So "Forever Your Girl," and then there was what was the cartoon one? "Opposites Attract."
Yes, that went to number one.
You said it spawned 4 number one hits.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what happened is they first released Knocked Out, which didn't kind of flopped as a single. It was more R&B, went to R&B charts, but did okay. Then she released a song called The Way That You Love Me, also did not do well. So the first two singles were pretty much
flops. Yeah.
Then she released Straight Up, which went to number one, and the video was everywhere. I'm going to check it real quick, because I think she won a VMA for that, too.
For straight up?
Yeah.
If she won a VMA, it was for Opposites Attract.
Well, because she won some, it's like for choreography, because the video, she was tap dancing, and people were like, oh, this is so cool. And once that went to number one, then Cold Hearted went to number one, and then Forever Your Girl, and then Opposites Attract went to number one in 1990. So by the, and at some point, The Way That You Love Me got released and went to number three, so it did, it eventually, when it re-released,
so it was a slow build.
Right.
Okay. So this goes back to a point that I know that we've talked about of your frame of references of individuals and how you think of them are directly related to when they come into your life.
How
right?
you experience them.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Joey always talks about Michael Jackson and he knows in his head that he's a big pop star, but his first memory of him was dangling a baby off a balcony. So in his head, the first thing he associates Michael Jackson with is like kind of, you know, not a well person. And then the second part is. So for me, I didn't, Paula Abdul, in my head, I know that she's a big 80s star, right? I knew that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really quite get the context of how big, having 4 number ones, right? But in my head, the first thing, she's an American Idol judge, because that's what you grew up watching with her.
You think of her as a drug-addled reality television star.
I didn't think past that. Just American Idol. That's
really?
She was the really nice one on American Idol, and I didn't really know who she was, but she always... was very nice and complimentary.
Okay.
I never watched American Idol, but that's how I know Paula Abdul as
well.
So
I just looked it up, and Straight Up won a VMA for Best Female Video, Best Dance Video, Best Choreography, and Best Editing.
Oh,
so
get
it,
Paula.
Four VMAs.
It's also,
get it, girl.
Paula's weird because then her second album had 2 number one hits, so she had 6 total and then kind of disappeared, and she's had more number hits than a lot of people, like more than Britney Spears.
Yeah, she is, so Paula Abdul started out her career as a Laker girl.
Yep.
Right,
yep.
And then was a choreographer for a lot of musical acts. Kind of like, it was like her and Rosie Perez, I think, were the two biggest choreographers.
Yeah, she did a lot of work
genre.
With Janet Jackson, too.
Yeah.
Choreographer, and she was guest starred in the Nasty video.
Cool.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that we've talked enough about it, though. So yeah. Let's move on. And Nick's fact.
All right, my fact. Okay, this is, it's also music related.
Oh,
so
segue.
It's a good segue. And this is aimed specifically at Lindsay.
I would like to take this moment to be upset that segues don't have a specific sound to make. Like, you know, trains are like, woo, woo, you know, uh-huh. And trucks are, burr, you know. And I wish there was a sound. Yeah, I wish there was a sound for
like
a segue.
Like a swoosh.
Yes, yeah, something. I'm going to think of it and I'll brainstorm.
I think it's tour what on is, your left, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. What's the sound of crashing and burning?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm focused on you.
Okay, so here is my question. Let's see.
Taylor Swift, no.
Yeah. So,
damn it.
Are you familiar with the song Gorgeous?
I've listened to it repeatedly, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert.
Okay. My question is Taylor Swift related.
Oh, excellent.
On the song, in the song Gorgeous, there is a baby voice
mm-hmm.
that is part of that.
Yes.
Who is the baby?
Oh.
So the specific question, the voice of the baby on Taylor Swift's song Gorgeous is the daughter of which two celebrities?
Oh. I'm going to say Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
Okay.
For no other reason than that I know they have a baby daughter, and I know that they're very famous.
They are both celebrities,
and they
yes.
both are, you know, he's a musician, and
right.
she's cool.
She's also famous.
Yes.
And a great Twitter stuff. Follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my guess, and
okay.
am I wrong?
That you are incorrect.
Dang. Okay.
That's a good guess, though. Well logicked.
But they're celebrity parents.
That's some yes, both of them are celebrities. That's some good logicking.
I don't know why anybody's looking at me. I have no idea of the song. I have
Who is this Taylor Swift you speak
no,
of?
No, I know guess. Taylor Swift, but I've never heard the song. Right. I've nope. I don't know Brad and Angelina.
Yeah, great guess, just from sheer numbers. Yep. But no. Carson?
My first would be someone that's in her like squad, but then I don't think anyone in her squad is old enough to have has a baby. But if it should be someone like I know Selena Gomez doesn't have a baby, but that's her like best friend. It needs to be someone like
somebody
that
in that
or, like,
genre
or yeah. like Carly Kloss, like someone. It has to be someone in her squad, but I don't know enough about. Her. I'm sorry, I don't know enough that I about her squad. I don't roll that deep, but so just because we're gonna throw out. Or it also would be ironic if it was like Northwest. That would actually be fantastic.
Yeah.
But
that's much better than the actual answer, by the way.
So because I don't know the answer, let's just go with Northwest.
Okay. No, that is incorrect. But that is the best answer I've heard so far.
Yep.
Blue Ivy?
Not Blue Ivy. Again, good guess.
Solid guess.
Good reasoning.
I don't know.
Neither one
of
the celebrities are music related.
Oh,
neither
so
one of the parents
like,
are
what is
Jay Cutler and his wife?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say Philip Rivers just for, again, sheer numbers. But.
Yeah.
Kristen Cavallari.
Thank you. Could not come up with her name.
Yeah. No?
Silence. Stunned silence.
I got nothing.
So it's it's James Reynolds is the little girl.
Oh, Blake and Ryan Reynolds.
Blake and Ryan Reynolds is her daughter.
Oh, my gosh. That's so obvious because Ryan and her are buddies. It's like she borrowed the actual Deadpool suit for Halloween one year. And they
Wait,
like,
what?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds lent her the Deadpool suit for Halloween, and they're like buddies.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I thought that was a good question.
It's a great question.
Great question.
I'm upset that I didn't know it, and I'm going to have to re-listen to the entire album 40 more times and look up interesting facts about it, because my breakdown of the music videos wasn't enough.
No.
Coming in January from Lindsay, all Taylor Swift facts.
Yeah. I think this is the point that you should really take to heart here, is that now my interesting facts are also Taylor Swift facts. So after you've sat me down and made me watch all of the videos and pointed out shot by shot, scene by scene, why they're so amazing... now I'm so ingrained in this that my interesting facts are doing this. Never Getting Back Together, one of only like 11 music videos ever shot with a single camera shot, one take.
Yeah, it's basically a lip dub, basically, which if you want to spend many hours on YouTube, watch lip dubs because they are amazing. And it's been my dream to make one. So maybe we'll do a District Trivia one sometime because they are so cool.
In our free
I've
time.
Done one.
Oh, of course you have.
I did it on Sylvester at Sea. It was great.
Oh, of course you have. Okay, so my fact. I'm the last one to go, and my fact is very simple.
12.
No.
Okay.
Which U.S. state did the first Texas Roadhouse open? In which U.S. state did the first...
I'll go ahead and be the first one to
go
jump
ahead.
In the pit.
Go
Texas.
Ahead.
All right. Am I wrong?
You're definitely wrong.
It can't possibly be Texas.
Yeah, what kind of fact would that be?
Well, Michael got it. All right, on to the next
cool,
thing.
Cool, yeah, we're done.
That would be funny, though, with Texas, because no one, you think it's not Texas. It's not it really is. It's like, oh, I'm going to go with Ohio.
Wait, what point value question do you want this to be?
I think that I...
It's a one, it's Texas.
Yeah, I... That's yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. You can logic your way. If I were going to write this in a regular night of trivia, I would make it a wager question, the bonus question. But you know, usually when their hosts are replacing with the podcast questions, they're supposed to do it from 6 to 8 pointers.
Yeah, generally,
to not super influence the game, but also make it a benefit for listening. So you know,
right? Yeah. So I'm still going to stick with Ohio. I like that answer.
Ohio. Yeah.
That I'm going to go with Florida just because I think most restaurant chains open in Florida.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say Florida also. Yeah.
All of you are wrong. Re-guesses?
Yeah. Re-guesses.
Connecticut.
No.
California.
There's no real reason that it is from this state.
Alabama.
let's try Kansas.
No. But you're getting a little bit closer. It's actually from Indiana. The first Texas Roadhouse opened in 1997 in Indiana. The guy that started it was like a manager at KFC and like opened a bunch of other stuff, got some funding, and now it's all over the world. And they had their international. They're really big in the Middle East, which I didn't realize. They opened their first international location, the UAE. So who knew? I did a lot of Texas Roadhouse research. I don't know why.
What led you to that? I'm always more fascinated by the train of thought necessary in order to end up where you ended up.
Actually, this is a good segue because next week I'll let you know how. Because it's related to my fact next week.
Well, all right, fine.
I was close to begin with. I did Ohio and Indiana are neighbors, so
yeah,
I was
next to each other.
Columbus is a test city for a lot of like fast food places,
right.
So they... Like when Wendy's is headquartered there, and when they test, you know, try to do new menu items, they test them in Columbus first, and if it takes off, then they do it in other cities. So I was like, maybe they tested Texas Roadhouse in Columbus too, but nope.
Right.
That's a really good logic.
No, absolutely, yeah. Whenever the new Gordita Raider thing comes out from Taco Bell, the first place to get it is Columbus.
Yeah. So if you want to try new fast food, go to Columbus, Ohio. There's a lot of interesting right. stuff there.
Whenever McDonald's brings the McRib back, it first comes back to Columbus.
Huh. Why? Why was there not? Why hasn't there been a television show about testing different food products in a city like that? There needs to be one. I was thinking the Drew Carey Show, but that wasn't set in Columbus. That was Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
What's the one in Cincinnati?
WKRP.
Yeah.
There's another Cincinnati.
That's how old
one.
I am.
I got that reference. It's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, they're in Cleveland. That would just be great. What's our secret phrase?
I don't have one.
Okay, logicking.
Usually I stop. Logicking.
We're going to call it logicking because I've said that 45 times today. I just hate picking the secret phrase when I say it because, I don't know, I don't like it.
How do you spell it?
Doesn't matter.
Spelling
does not count.
L-O-D.
Spelling never counts unless we ask for spelling.
CK.
Okay, so that's going to do it for this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. If you loved Carson, great news because he's back next week. And if you hated Carson, you're still going to have to listen anyway because you want those points.
Right.
So this is We Don't Know Either. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Carson.
We Don't Know Either.
Bye.
Bye.